Today is Saturday, February 17th, 2018, and this...
You go away for a weekend with your friends on a trip to Vegas. You come back. She says, did you have fun? You gotta lie. You gotta say, no, I didn't have fun. No, it wasn't fun at all. Worst trip I ever made in my life. Then she talks to one of your friends, and they say they had a fantastic time. She comes back to me. She says, your friend said you had a great time. And you go, no, they had a great time. I had a lousy time.
Is 500 by Midnight, the original Las Vegas podcast, show number 636.
I hope that you're having an enjoyable stay here in Las Vegas, and also hope that you have been fortunate. I do wish that for you.
We're gonna give Daddy the Rain Man suite. Do you dig that? We're going to Vegas, Mike.
Vegas! You think we get there by midnight?
Honey, we're gonna be up 500 by midnight.
Yeah, Vegas!
Vegas, baby, Vegas!
Las Vegas is waiting.
Hello, everybody. This is Tim.
And this is Michelle.
Welcome to 500 by Midnight. How are you this evening?
I am well. How are you?
I am great. We're doing something a little different this evening for the podcast. Something we've not done in a long time. We have a live audience on the internet of some of our Patreon supporters who are very awesome to support us.
Yes.
In this podcast. So
taking time out of their busy Saturday evenings to hang out with us.
Yay. Thank you. As you may recall, longtime listeners, we've done live streaming shows in the past, and they've typically not gone well. And we have resolved the issues that have made them not go well. And this one should be just a fairly normal show. It will not be influenced by the chatters.
What if there's a technical difficulty and the people in the chat are trying to get our attention and we don't know about it?
Let me know on Twitter. You can send me a direct message on Twitter, and I will probably see it pop up on my phone. Yeah, I know you really want to. You really would love to be paying more attention to the people in the chat than to your husband, because you get to pay attention to me all the time and it gets a little old. But for the sake of my sanity, we'll do the podcast and then we'll entertain, and we won't entertain, but we'll entertain questions and chat with our fine folks over there. So this podcast is listener supported. We want to thank several of the people who are supporting the show via Patreon. That's a weird way to say it. Including,
hey, way to mispronounce Patreon.
I know. It's going to be one of those shows. Carlos Moreno. Thank you, sir. Becky McBreen. I'm going to just fuck up all the names here one at a time. Kelly Blair. Todd Arnold. Marianne Sharon. Dan Brook. Do you think that's Elizabeth?
Elizabeth.
Is it?
I think so.
The S is throwing me off. Elizabeth Hagen. And Eden Gutierrez, thank you all very much.
Thank
you. And thank you to all of our Patreon supporters. We do appreciate it. If you want to support the show on an ongoing basis, go over to patreon.com/500 and get details on some of the bonus stuff you can get in exchange for your support.
Like this live chat. Show.
Like this live thing that people are enjoying. They're spending their Saturday nights doing this. Well, so are we. Okay, forget it. We're all losers together. All right, so.
Some people, it's early, though. They still have time to go out and do whatever.
I bet they're not, though.
Would
you be motivated to go out after this? They're going to just want to go to bed, probably weep themselves to sleep. All right. So this show is, I think, going to be a relatively short one because we have one topic. We're going to talk about one news story, and yeah, we're going to talk about it extensively, but it's going to be a little shorter than the rest. And then, you know, we'll see what happens next week. So there was huge news this week. Did you hear about it?
I did hear about it.
All right. There's a new... there's new ownership that we discussed a while ago for the Fontainebleau project, and they have announced details.
Yay.
Regarding their plans for that property. And I will be the first to say, and I've said it before, and I will say it again, because I will happily admit when I'm wrong, I did not think this project would once again spring to life.
I wanted it to, but I didn't have a lot of hope.
No, I'm now on board, though. I'm gung-ho about this, and I'm looking forward to what they have planned, and I think it will happen. So let's rattle through what we've learned regarding this particular place.
Okay.
Shall we? The plan for opening this is 2020. And if that happens, 2020 is going to be a big year, which we'll discuss a little bit later. They're saying late 2020. So I don't know. We'll see if they make it. There's going to be a couple hotels as part of this. They're partnering with Marriott. And Marriott's going to use two of its different hotel brands as part of this property. They're going to use JW Marriott for part of it and Edition, which is a newer segment of their business. They have not really been specific as far as how they're divvying up the rooms, if it's going to be like some of the other hotel within a hotel things where the top few floors are a separate...
Like Mandalay Bay Four Seasons.
Tiki Ho. Yes, that's a good example. Or at Mandalay Bay, Monte Carlo, they had Hotel 32. Mm-hmm. So that happens. But they haven't said for sure if that's the way they're going to do it or if perhaps they're going to divide it up in some other way. When Fontainebleau was planned, they were going to use about roughly 25% of the rooms, like around 1,000 of the rooms, for residential. They're not doing that anymore as part of this new project. So conceivably, they could divide it up with those rooms, which are most likely larger, or they could do it an entirely different way. So we don't know, but we do know they're going to use those two brands. So if you're a member of the Marriott Rewards program, start racking up your points so you can stay here at a huge discount or for free, because it's definitely not going to be a cheap place to stay. Those are two of their luxury brands. And at this stage, I know people would love it if someone were to open a new resort on the Strip and have it cater to like the lower and middle tier. Mm-hmm. That's never going to happen again.
No. What's going to happen is newer places are going to keep opening up, and then the ones that aren't renovated are going to
With property values as high as they are and with the amount it costs to build places, it wouldn't be financially feasible for them to build something and then have the rooms be $89 a night. So at least not long term. For Aria, things didn't really work out right away, but I think now they've got their room rates up probably closer to where they wanted them than when they opened. So it'll be a higher end hotel, hotels. 4,000 total rooms. I think the number was like 38 something that they had planned for Fontainebleau. I imagine it'll be about the same. One of the things that they do have planned, they announced, is to connect the hotel to the new convention center expansion, which is supposed to open roughly around the same time.
Will it be a hallway that connects? No.
It's only 100 feet across the street. We're going to connect with an air-conditioned umbilical hallway.
This is a new Siegfried and Roy.
And I can use it all year around. Oh, it's wonderful. So yeah, they're going to connect to the new convention center expansion, which is happening. Another thing that we know is that, and we had discussed this as a rumor previously, but former CEO of Cosmopolitan, John Unwin, is on board to launch and run this this property. That's a good thing for anybody who likes Cosmopolitan.
Which we do.
I was thinking, I hope that he, are we going to see some of the ideas from Cosmo come over here? Like concerts on the casino floor, a la Book and Stage?
Oh, right.
Probably not, but yeah, you never know.
Maybe, but it'll be 10 years between the time Cosmo opened and this place opened, at least 10 years, so some of those ideas might not
nobody's
still
using
be new
them.
And fresh.
That doesn't matter. Nobody's using them. Finally, the name of this resort will be the Drew Las Vegas. That is the name they announced, and we're going to discuss it extensively right now because we're nerds, and that's what we do. So the reaction online upon announcing this immediately pretty much ignored everything except for the name.
Mm-hmm.
That was the one thing that stuck out, and that's how it is with these projects. As nerds, as obsessive folks, we tend to overanalyze the thing that we love, which in this case is Las Vegas. And having minimal details, the thing that we migrate to at this stage in the game is the name. And generally the overwhelming consensus was that people did not like the name.
Indifferent to the name.
I'm indifferent as well. I'm just like, meh. I don't hate it. I don't love it.
No.
It's just there.
I just want to wait and see what the hotel and casino are like.
And we know that we're not beyond bitching about a name.
Oh, no.
We've done that
no,
many times in here. We'll do it again, I'm sure. But I guess we kind of have learned over the years that overall, once the property is open and people begin going there, then the name becomes not even secondary. It gets pushed way down and we like it or hate it based on the amenities and the restaurants and the experience that we have there. So for now, we get to bitch about the name, and then later on we'll
bitch about something else.
We'll find something else to complain and overanalyze. So there's some interesting things with the name. people, like I said, immediately began complaining about it and were like, what, why would you name it that? And then details got out that the owner, Stephen Witkoff, his son's name was Andrew, and he died at a young age from an OxyContin overdose. So this is sort of a tribute to him. Whether or not that's weird, I guess some people wondered. To have a Vegas resort.
Where you're supposed to have fun.
Yeah. To have it named after someone who died. I've been thinking about this a little bit too. Shocking that I've been obsessing over all this. Most of the people who go there are not in the same mindset that we are as people who obsess over this stuff and either won't know or won't care. Once it's open, I mean, they might be aware of it, but I don't think... It's not like they're going to put this in all their promotional materials.
Right.
I think it's named after the son of... They're not...
Yeah, it's going to be a personal thing for that guy, and that's how he wants to honor his son. Yeah,
but I don't think most people who go to Las Vegas have any idea what's behind, what went into naming a lot of these places, except for the obvious themed ones. So... I don't know. I don't think that's that big of a deal either. I don't think it'll matter.
What about the thought that went into naming the hotel?
So that's the thing. As a result of the complaining about the name, and we've done it in the past, but I've been thinking a lot about that. Like, what name could they have given this that would not have elicited that response?
None.
There's none. And now there's probably people in the chat, which we're ignoring, that are bringing up a lot of names of hotels that used to exist. And... there's always a cry like, bring back the Mint. Well, that's not going to happen. By the way, there is a hotel. There is a bar in the same strip mall as Golden Steer that recently rebranded as the Mint, and they've got kind of a recreation of the old Mint neon sign. So there you go. I think if you're going to resurrect the name of a hotel from the 60s, then do it that way as a bar or a restaurant. But to try to do it as a hotel.
As a recreation.
You're ultimately going to fail because people are going to either go, oh, this is nothing like that place. Or, yeah, that's probably what they're going to say. I don't know. I know that happens a lot, though. Like, oh, they should name it this. Well, but people who were born, well, that's not true. We were born after those places were around.
Our dog is
here. I just think, like, the, if there's somebody, like, who's 25, do they really want to visit a place called the Hacienda because there used to be one 50 years ago? They don't give a shit. Anyway, probably a bad example. I don't think anybody wants to visit the Hacienda, but... All right.
The El Rancho, Countryland, USA.
We can dream. There's still a dream of that. At least when they announced the name, I was thinking, well, at least it's not another initial. It's not M Resort. It's not the D. It's not SLS. We have enough of those.
I was thinking it doesn't have Grand in it.
There's no Grand. That's probably a good thing. We have enough Grands.
It doesn't rhyme with Eris.
Okay.
Paris, Harris.
Okay.
But that causes general confusion.
There were people who were concerned that the Drew is too close to the D.
No,
I don't think so either. All right, so that's what's going on with the name. I don't know. Like I said, indifferent. I'm more concerned with what they have there. And the other question is, can they really make a 2020 opening? I think they probably can. You have to keep in mind that.
Well, they've got the shell already built.
Right, and even though they've gutted a lot of stuff. They've sold escalators and anything that they could make money off of. The previous owners did. There's a lot of work going on already, not necessarily cranes on site, but they have, for the last few months, they've been getting bids on this project. They've been pulling permits already. They've pulled a lot more permits than even Resort World across the street has.
Wow.
And that place has been, you know, in some form of construction for a while. So I think they're going to ramp this up pretty quick. And the other thing too, is I know there's a lot of questions like, oh, is it structurally sound? Well, it's not like this developer bought the place without checking this stuff out. Like, oh, I'm going to spend a shit ton of money on this. And then we'll get some inspectors in to see if we can actually use it. That's been taken care of. It's fine. They're going to be just fine with it. But the things that people are concerned about, I don't know. I just think, they've already worked that out. The developers have done their job, and seems like they've got part of the reason that I believe in this one, as opposed to some other projects that have been announced. They've got a reputation. The developer has a reputation. They've done stuff before. They've got money behind them. It's not like Allnet Arena, where it's like a former basketball player supposedly has funding, but isn't saying where. And I don't know. These guys have done stuff before. They've got Marriott on board. Mm-hmm. That's pretty huge.
We were talking amongst ourselves about how that helps the hotel part tremendously, because Cosmo had a lot of issues when they opened with the hotel side of things. So having a hotel company with a, I hate to say, proven track record, because that sounds super corporate.
Right, but running the hotel, not just that they're attaching to their loyalty program or mm-hmm. something. Because like right now, Cosmo, used the example, they're contractually tied to Marriott. It's one of their Autograph Collection hotels. Mm-hmm. That will probably end. I don't know how long their contract is. But yeah, this is Marriott's actually going to be running the hotel. So a little bit different, a little bit
they won't reputable. Have to issue as much apology scotch on opening weekend.
I would hope not. So let's see. What else? What else we want to talk about here? I'm scanning my notes. Oh, like as I mentioned, there's a lot of permits being pulled. That stuff is not cheap to do. I scanned some of the permits. They cost like tens of thousands of dollars to pull these permits. So it's not like, oh, we'll just pull these and hopefully we'll get their work They're is going to be stuff. Done. Yeah, work is going to be, we're going to be seeing work on site very, very quickly.
My main concern is I hope the economy holds up.
I've been thinking about that a lot too.
Because 2008, there were some things that were starting and then boom, it all went to shit.
The bottom fell out. So, well, that's just it. Now, as far as whether or not late 2020 is realistic, I think it probably is. But as we remember from the building boom previously, it's not uncommon for these projects to get delayed once they're working on them and it's clear they're actually going to happen. Mm-hmm. Sometimes things end up taking a little longer than expected. So it wouldn't surprise me if this ends up being early 2021, mm-hmm. but I don't think it'll be that far off the mark. So time will tell. It'll be fun to keep an eye on this as they announce restaurants and all that other stuff. And who knows what they're going to do as far as specific room designs. Mm-hmm. And I'm excited to have.
I'm excited this. That John Unwin's involved, because me too. I'm curious to see what they do with it.
Yep.
Because I still love Cosmo.
Me too. So maybe we will, there's some of the things we love about that will be made better at the Drew. Who knows? Mm-hmm. So the North Strip, things are looking up right now.
Yeah. This excites me.
Yeah. So some of the projects that are slated to open roughly 2020 are this new one, the Drew Las Vegas, Resorts World across the street, which work is being done. And in the next couple months, we're supposed to see it really ramp up. That arena that we discussed last week that looks like Monkey Poker Dome, MSG Sphere Arena, that's scheduled for 2020. The convention center expansion on the old Riviera space, that's 2021, like early 2021. They want to have it done for CES, which is in January. Mm-hmm. So 2020, you know, end of 2020 is realistic for the expansion. And then what they're planning on doing after the expansion is renovating all of the old space. And that's going to take another 2 years, but the expansion will be the thing that will
be high profile. But having new hotels near this convention center could be really good timing.
That's part of what's driving this too, I think. Once that convention center thing, the timeline of that came out and the developers realized, okay, there's we have opportunities here.
Mm-hmm. And can SLS hang on long enough to reap the benefits of some of this stuff?
I know, and that whole ownership change has been hung up. That hasn't gone through yet. I don't know what's happening there. So and then Wynn Paradise Park and Wynn West are question marks now with all the Steve Wynn stuff. Whether or not both or one of those will go ahead and they will end up building the hotels. But those were scheduled tentatively, at least, for around that same time, 2020. And then, of course, the one that I mentioned, AllNet Arena. I looked into some of the stuff with that, and because there was work being done there earlier, they did some grading work. They moved some dirt around, and that's it. They haven't pulled permits for mm-hmm. anything. They have no – there's nothing happening. That place is – I'd be really surprised if that –
Where was that supposed to be again?
Next to Sahara, the old Wet n Wild site that's been empty forever. So I wouldn't put my money on that project, but they moved dirt around for publicity so that they could. I think they're still trying to drum up investors, mm-hmm. even though they've said they have money. Nobody has exactly said where it's coming from. Yeah. So,
are they using the the Rock in Rio site for iHeartRadio outdoor stuff this year?
That hasn't officially been announced, but yeah, that is a rumor now, that which seems likely.
Mm-hmm.
So typically iHeartRadio, which is in what, September?
Yeah.
October?
Yeah, late September.
Typically they have, the last few years, had an outdoor festival site. In addition to the main concert, which is a T-Mobile over mm-hmm. the course of a few days, they have a festival grounds, and it was on the same location where the shootings took place.
Yeah.
Which right now they have not announced plans for reusing that land. So as of right now, it sounds like they're probably going to, from what I read in the Review Journal, probably going to move that down to the old, they used it once. The old El Rancho site, the Rock and Rio site across from SLS. So it sounds like that's, and they're going to use, because I think that's a larger space, I think they're planning on maybe doing a little bit more than they did at the old iHeartRadio festival grounds as far as live acts and stuff. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'm sure there'll be a lot of announcements. And that makes a lot of sense that they would use that for something. Finally, it's been sitting there empty, and they've only used it since Rock and Rio. They've only used it for a couple things.
Mm-hmm.
Huge waste of space, and they did a lot of work on it, too, before they opened it for Rock and Rio, so you would think they'd want to get the most out of that. So there is hope for the North Strip.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be patient. Still a couple years away, but...
That would be great.
It'd be a good time to be a construction worker in Las Vegas, I got to think. There's going to be a high demand. That'll be the other thing. Like, is there going to be enough labor to do all of this at once?
I don't know.
We'll see.
And when was the last time something completely new opened? Cosmo.
I mean, Lucky Dragon, but that doesn't count. Yeah. We know how that went. Yeah, it's been Cosmo. That was 2010.
Yeah.
So this will be exciting.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
I'm really, really hopeful that, and like you said, hopefully the economy will hold and yes. this stuff will move along and we'll have a whole bunch of new stuff coming up. So that's the deal with the Drew. We'll keep an eye on it. We'll have plenty of other things to discuss as announcements happen. And hooray, North Strip. It's about Yay. Time. I've been wanting to talk about...
Good things happening.
Yeah, everything. It seems like, oh, this is delayed again. This isn't happening. This fell through. We've got stuff now, so... Yippee!
Yay!
So that's it. That's our big topic this week. Like I said, short show. We're already over 20 minutes, so I already... The overs have it. but before we go, and we'll get caught up on phone calls if we have any next week. But before we go, we have some other people to thank for some karma donations this week. Thank you to these fine folks, including our friend Dave Lifton. Thank mm-hmm. you, Dave. Karma donation thank you, Dave. For his upcoming trip, which is happening in just a few days. He said, if I drunk dial again, I'll try to make sure to not call from the bathroom this time. please don't. I appreciate that.
He did have an excuse for it.
I don't need excuses. You can do better. All right. Thanks, Dave. We appreciate it. Jason with a karma donation for a trip this Tuesday to Friday, staying at Encore.
Thank you.
Steve's home and suite at Wynn was not yet available. It will be in June, apparently. The details of his separation agreement have come out. He's not getting any money. He has, I think, health insurance for a while, and he has his lease at Wynn through May, and then he'll have to find a new place. New place to live. I hope that he can afford. I hope there's some affordable housing for Steve.
Yeah.
Really worried about the guy. Jason continues. Thanks for the consistently great content and pronouncing my last name right a few weeks ago. Wow, I got one right.
Yay.
He's wondering if I speak German or something. I don't. She does, kind of.
Tiny, tiny bit.
All right. Paul and Dave leaving for the first trip of the year to Vegas. Have Yay. A wonderful time, Paul and Dave. I looked yes. at the camera as though they're watching. They might be, but I. Alejandro, it's 5:30 a.m. and I'm about to drive the boyfriend and myself to Vegas. His bitch ass will undoubtedly sleep the majority of the way there. We'll wake his bitch ass up. He's going to Vegas. He mm-hmm. should be awake and alert and excited. And Lorianne, karma donation headed your way, headed to Mecca for 4 days on the 22nd. First trip of the very long year.
First, yeah.
What did I say?
You said of a very long year, in a very long year.
I'm good at this. Love the podcast, Patreon extras, and the Facebook group. Thanks so much for all you guys do. Well, thank you very much. We do appreciate it. It means a lot to us. We hope you have a wonderful time.
Thank you all.
All right. So with that, we're going to go chat with our friends in the thing here. I had a hard time doing this show. I'm thrown off by being in a different room. I'm thrown mm-hmm. off by this whole thing. But
yeah.
thank you for sticking with us to all of our listeners and to the folks
our
in the
therapy
chat.
Dog came to visit us halfway through. That was nice.
Now he's
on the bed.
Okay. All right. 500bymidnight.com is the place you can go to if you want to access past shows and stuff, I guess. You can email us. I'm really good at selling, you can tell. 500@gmail.com is the place to send Dear Tim and Michelle questions. You can find us both on Twitter. I am 500. She is...
Anita Martini.
And you can call us. We'd love to hear from you. 702-866-9494. Leave us a message. Tell us about your trip. Tell us what's going on. Review something. We always love to hear from our listeners.
We do.
That's it. As always, thank you for listening, emailing, commenting, and calling. We do appreciate it. And we will be back soon with another show.
Bye-bye.
Bye.